Hello?
Yeah, hi, I'm looking for Norman Chad.
This is Norman.
Hi, Norman. This is Brandon Gerson. I am calling with my two co-hosts, Kevin and Johnny. We are in the midst of a 21-hour and going podcast for the 22Q Foundation. How are you this evening?
I'm okay. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm surprised. I thought this doesn't sound like Norman Chad. Is this really Norman Chad?
I have kidnapped him, and I'm just answering his cell phone number and taking all his calls.
All right, if this is really Norman Chad, how many ex-wives do you have?
Well, that's classified information.
What's the prettiest card in the deck?
The Ace of Spades.
All right, it's Norman Chad. We can carry on.
Norman, thank you so much for joining us. Norman?
Still there?
Yeah. Norman, can you hear me?
Can you still hear me?
I can hear you. Gentlemen, can you still hear Norman?
Yes, I hear him. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, Norman, thank you for joining us. We've, like I mentioned, been up for quite some time, and we've had a very star-studded lineup today. And you are actually the guest I've been looking forward to all day, so I hope you do not let me down, or the children, for that matter.
Well, people usually are let down when they meet me in person, but over the phone or the radio, I usually do a pretty good job.
Well, tell us, what's going on? Where are you right now? I assume you do not live in Nevada. Is that correct?
No. No, I am in Las Vegas a lot, but I am in Los Angeles right now, and we're working on World Series production at the moment.
Oh, are you literally working on it as we speak right now? Like literally?
No, I'm doing it the rest of the week, but we do it in Los Angeles. That's where the production company is based, and so we will be doing the rest of the main event shows this month and next month.
No, I was actually going to ask you. I was thinking about you in the shower. I was taking a brief break, and I know that sounds really bad, but what I was going to ask you is I just wondered, it's almost like you're the opposite of a teacher, whereas a teacher works all year and then they take the summers off. Kind of seems like, you know, you're the opposite. You work during the summers and take the rest of the year off. You know, when you're not doing the World Series work, what do you do the rest of the year?
Well, first of all, I think I work 17 days a year. So that gives me 300, whatever that is, I can't do the math, 350 almost the rest of the year. And then the rest of the year, I generally sleep in because nothing bad happens to you when you sleep in. And then when I wake up, I like going to 7-Eleven a lot.
Well, just so you know, you're on VegasPokerRadio.com. We've had a huge, huge amount of guests on today. This is who has preceded you. We've had Victor Ramden on. We've had Chris Moneymaker. We've had Greg FBT Mueller. We've had Greg Raymer. We've had Matt Savage. Gentlemen, help me out.
Daniel Negreanu.
We've got Daniel Negreanu on for quite some time. Very vocal Daniel Negreanu. We had a guy in Ireland. I'm not really sure who he was. What was his name again?
Padraig Parkinson. We've had Josh Arie, Jonathan Little. You are the headliner on a star-studded day of podcasting, Norman, and we thank you so much for joining us.
Well, you're being too kind. It sounds like I'm going to stop your winning streak right here. You've had a really nice group of people.
Start telling some jokes and stuff. That's what we're all doing. You know, we have an interactive chat, and people have been waiting all day. This is like the main event. This is like they see like the lightweight fights, the flyweight, banterweight, whatever, the bantam, banner, right, whatever they want to call it. And like, you're the main event, so we're all going to listen. Just tell us some jokes and funny stuff. Tell us we're all just a bunch of
kids. I have trouble working if I can't see your shirts, because for pretty much the entirety of my poker analysis has to come down to people's shirts and hats. So if I can't see shirts and hats, I'm in trouble.
Norman, can I play a little game with you? If I name a few different poker players, will you give me what you would say if calling the action on that poker player?
I guess so. It depends on that poker player on a particular day, but sure.
Okay, let's try and see. We'll start off easy. Phil Ivey.
Oh, Phil Ivey. You know, Phil Ivey, you know, when I do go to 7-Eleven, I think about Phil Ivey. When I go to church or synagogue, I think about Phil Ivey. When I go to the Department of Motor Vehicles, I think about Phil Ivey. I think about Phil Ivey a lot because I've always loved his game. I've always loved the fact that he plays cash as well, if not better than tournaments. I've always loved the fact that he plays all the games as well, if not better than no limit hold'em. So I only have good thoughts about Phil Ivey wherever I go, all day long.
Damn, you're good at this game.
Phil Hellmuth.
Okay. I have different good thoughts about Phil Hellmuth. If he wasn't so rich, I would kick back like 5% of my salary to him because he makes it so easy to broadcast when he's on the broadcast. Because Phil, around the table, is just an overgrown kid who is mad that he's not going to be getting ice cream after dinner if they say you can't get ice cream after dinner, and he just stomps his feet. But I love talking with him away from the table. He's a wonderful guy. He just has a few table comportment, bedside manner issues when he's at the table. But we give him the benefit of the doubt because he is the all-time leader, as he will remind you, in bracelets, final tables, and caches of the World Series. So I have, you know, different good thoughts about Phil Hellmuth than I do about Phil Ivey.
Okay, and I'm gonna actually change the game a little bit and just drop the level of poker players to people that we actually know. Todd Dandruff would tell us.
These are people you know. Todd would tell us?
Oh, I host a radio show with him.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, I don't know Todd. You know, I've actually read and listened to Todd the last few years. As actually, I guess I might have heard him with you on the radio podcast that I've heard.
Wait, you've listened to our show? That's amazing. I didn't think anyone listened.
It happens by accident, you know. It's like when you sit on a sofa cushion and you know, 5 minutes later, you got 35 cents in your hand because there's some change between there. So sometimes when I'm gracing the worldwide net, I've come across Todd on a podcast. It was quite long, the one I listened to.
Oh, they're all because they're yeah,
yeah,
it's all.
So, yeah, I don't know Todd. I only know Todd from the time that we had him on a broadcast many, many years ago. And I remember I had some comments about Todd that time that he wasn't too happy about. And that's my old relationship with Todd Vitellis.
Okay. Brian, the icon, Mycon.
Oh, now see, if more of this nation's youth was like Brian, the icon, Mycon, I think we'd be in better shape as a nation. You know, he's I just find him to be enjoyable to be around. He's bright. He's a very good poker player. And if you're Mycon the icon, then, you know, you're somebody. And you've got to be able to back it up. And he can back it up. So, again, when I'm in 7-Eleven and I'm getting a great Slurpee, I'm thinking Brian the Mycon, Brian Mycon the icon.
The kid from 5 years ago, the little boy that started crying, and you told him there's no crying in poker.
The little boy started crying.
The little redhead kid, you know, he won his first bracelet this year?
Yeah, he's Adam Friedman,
who
I've apologized subsequently because, you know, that was obviously a tough moment for him. And sometimes on our broadcast, I kind of forget about that I'm talking about people, and I just use people as props because if I see something that's interesting or entertaining or funny, then I will just go with it, and sometimes I forget the person. So that was a tough moment for Adam, and he handled it well afterwards. And there's another guy who probably wasn't terribly happy with me, like Todd Vitellis wasn't happy with me. But I've come to know Adam pretty well over the last few years. I've played in a couple of tournaments with him. He's a terrific player. I know he knocked me out of a World Series horse tournament 2 or 3 years ago. He made a great call on me. I was so happy to see him win a brace this year. You know, wasn't he heads up against Greg Mueller? I think he was.
Maybe, anyway. I don't know. We don't do great research on the show.
Anyway, but yeah, Adam is a terrific player, and he's a very dedicated poker player. And I would just tell him to try not to take it off as seriously as he does. But I love being around him, and I'm glad he won a bracelet.
Wow. And, you know, let me ask you, you know, when you say something like that, that, you know, Adam was unhappy with you, or even Todd was, when the things that are said on ESPN, and you know, we're going to get more to that in a second, how much input do you actually have in terms of your lines? I mean, do you completely write them yourself, or do you have a couple others? I mean, how is that, you know, what can you basically, I guess, tell us about that process?
Yeah, for some reason I get that question a lot. There's been confusion over the years, as I think they think we're some scripted production and I have writers. It's not a scripted production. Everything that comes out of my mouth, or about 90 to 95% that comes out of my mouth, is stuff that I think about and say, and then once in a while, because we're on tape, you know, we redo something where a producer will tell me, why don't we redo this? That wasn't very good, or why don't we talk about this? And so I'll change something. But, yeah, there's no writing team for me. Whatever I'm saying is what I believe and what I think. And it used to be more improv. The last few years, I take a little more, do a little more preparation beforehand. And I know most of what I'm going to say when we go into the broadcast. But the process is that the producers and the editors, they edit down a broadcast the 1 hour you see, and then it's sent to Lon McCarron and myself a day or two before we go on the air. We both take a look at it individually, wherever we live, and make our preparation. Then we come into the studio the next day or 2 days later, and we start broadcasting as if it's live. That's pretty much how the process works. So,
okay, well,
yeah.
That makes sense. You know, we have an interactive chat that's going on right now as you're speaking. So I'm reading, you know, we have a ton of listeners that are listening live and also posting their thoughts and questions and commentary. So excuse me if I kind of somewhat jump all over the place here. I just so many questions for you here. One question, I have no idea what this even means. Ask Norman about his contempt of court charge for tweeting. I don't even know what this is about. Is there some contempt of court charge for your tweeting?
Earlier this same year, I was on I was on jury duty, and I actually was thrown off the jury, and I had to face a couple of charges in which I was acquitted of both charges because I wasn't guilty of doing what they told me to do. But yes, during the jury duty, I was tweeting during lunch breaks when I was at home, and I wasn't tweeting about the trial, and I wasn't tweeting when I was in the courtroom while I was on jury duty, but the judge got the wrong idea about it, and so I was thrown off the jury, and then I had to face jury misconduct and contempt of court charges.
Wait. Oh, wow.
And I had to go to a hearing. I had to hire a lawyer. We went to a hearing. The hearing lasted about 30 or 40 minutes, and I was found.
So you're like the only man that like goes to jury duty and then gets charged with his own crimes on jury duty. That's almost amazing.
That's pretty much what I wanted to tell them. The lawyer correctly told me that during the hearing not to say anything unless I was told to say something. So I didn't even speak during the hearing. But, you know, most of my, when I tell people I'm going to jury duty, and I've been on jury duty a lot, people always tell me, one, they usually throw out their jury duty notice, and or two, they just somehow get it delayed or, you know, just send an excuse that they can't do it. So it's a little upsetting to me that I always do it. I always get selected for jury duty for several reasons. And then on this case, you know, unfortunately, I was doing something she didn't want me to do. As it turned out, I wasn't doing anything wrong, but I did face charges, and I did have to go to a hearing, and then the charges were thrown out, and that was that.
Norman, one of our users, Short Bus Poker, wants your insight on what it was like to make a final table after doing commentary for so long and not really having, you know, that kind of success. How did it feel?
Yeah, it was actually two things. I'm not a poker player. You know, I'm not a poker pro. I'm a recreational weekend player. And I don't play tournaments. And I've only played tournaments at the World Series. And so when I was playing two or three tournaments a year, starting the year after Chris Moneymaker, so I started playing them in 2004, you know, I was never cashing in any of them. I was 0 for my first 12. So the first time I cashed, which was about 3 years ago, I couldn't believe it felt better than I thought it would feel. It just, you know, it was like getting the monkey off my back. And that made me 1 for 12 or 1 for 13. That felt great. And then last year, I finished 12th in another tournament, and that felt pretty good. But then I had no idea how good I was going to feel when I made a final table this year and finished 6th. So that felt, actually, cashing for the first time actually felt better than making the final table. Because I just never thought I was going to cash. Obviously, I'm not a terribly skilled player. I don't play tournaments that often. So it was great to cash for the first time, and then it was almost as good to make the final table this year. And 6th place, as far as I'm concerned, was a bracelet for me. It was a great feeling, and I was really, I'm
trying to remember just, you know, off memory. Wasn't there either another amateur or celebrity or someone that also made a deep run in the same event with you?
Yeah, you're thinking about last year when I finished 12th, Mike Sexton and us and I were in the final two tables together. And actually Mike Sexton, who is a professional player and is a tremendous player, he's a Poker Hall of Famer as well as a great broadcaster, he finished 2nd in the tournament in which I finished 12th.
Okay.
So, That was a lot of fun last year, and then this year, lo and behold, I got even further. And like I said, it was a great feeling, but none was better than crawling across the money bubble to cash 3 years ago when I finished whatever I finished that year.
That's awesome. When you're in L.A., what do you play games at all? Do you play in any of the poker rooms in L.A. when you have spare time?
Yeah, Yeah, when I'm actually in my spare time, I only play at Hollywood Park, which is the third largest casino in L.A. The Commerce is the best known and the biggest, and, you know, the sort of a Super Bowl of poker stadiums. And then there's the Bicycle, which is the second largest. I play at Hollywood Park, and
aren't you
I don't
scared to go in there? I mean, I'm a little tough. Okay, go ahead.
No, I mean, I live near Hollywood Park for starters. I live very close to Hollywood Park. L.A., you know, L.A.'s pretty big, so you don't want to be traveling through too many rush hour freeways to get to your casino. And second of all, the games I play at Hollywood Park are actually not offered at the Commerce. You know, I play a mixed game, which is just, I used to play Omaha 8 or better, Stud 8 or better, and that mix is not offered at the Commerce or the Bike. So I prefer playing at Hollywood Park because it's close to me, and it's a great place, and the people there are great, and I love playing the mixed game.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though. Hollywood Park is not in a great area. That's true, correct?
It's not as bad of an area as people think. All three of the casinos that are really big here, the Commerce, the Bike, and Hollywood Park, are not in the best of areas. But there's nothing wrong with the area. You know, it's pretty safe. It's pretty convenient. And Hollywood Park, I've never had a problem, and I've been going there for more than 10 years now.
What limits do you play? Some of our users want to know when you do go there.
I'm either playing a 20-40 game with a half kill or a 40-80 game. So those are the limits. You buy in for like $500. Yeah, generally you win or lose several hundred dollars a night when you're playing 20-40. 40-80, you're going to win or lose $1,000 or $2,000 a day.
Norman, true or false, is pocket jacks really your least favorite hand?
No, it's not. That's actually for TV purposes. I got to remind you that I don't even play hold'em on a regular basis. So my hold'em skills are limited at best. My hold'em analytical skills are even more limited. So I have just found out from other players that, you know, pocket jacks is pretty tricky. I found out from Dora Brunson why he hates playing ace-queen. He does it from time to time, but it's his least favorite hand, and there's a lot of reasons why ace-queen is tricky. So on our telecast, I generally, you know, make fun of ace-queen and pocket jacks. In fact, I've even named that the Lon McCarron Memorial Hand because it just means you're just going to die with it. And Lon doesn't know how to win with it. Well, Lon can't win with anything. But Lon certainly can't win with pocket jacks. So it's not my least favorite hand in real life, but I do like making fun of it a lot on TV.
True or false, are you really as bad in relationships as you profess to be on television?
Well, you know, I'm essentially now 1-for-3 in marriages. And the one might even become an 0-for-3 for all I know. You have no idea what's going to go through. So if you're a two-time loser, then chances are you're not really good at it. So this third time, I hope, is indeed a charm. I've been married the third time for more than 5 years. And I'm a favorite to make it to 6. And I hope I'm in good shape. I keep telling her this is the last one, you know. So Beth do a spark. I don't care if one of us got to kill the other one. But I don't think I'm getting married again.
What's, I do want to, and I know I've been joking a lot because, like I said, people wanted you on here and they wanted just to be entertained and hear a lot of the quips and whatnot that you do on the air. But on a more serious note, I did want to ask you a couple serious questions because I know, you know, you are well respected, in the industry and, you've been around for quite some time. A lot's obviously happened in the poker world in the last year and a half, you know, mainly being Black Friday. What do you think, I guess one question that's been asked a lot is, you're at the Rio, you're a part of it. What is your feeling on certain individuals? And again, we've talked with other players today about it, so we don't really have to name them again, but certain individuals whose main event banners are still at the Rio after just scandals and other just unsavory things that have gone on. I'm sure you know who I'm referring to, or at least some of the people I'm referring to.
I have no problem with anybody's banner being at the Rio for accomplishing whatever they did to put them on the banner. In this case, we're talking about world champions.
Yes.
Regardless of what they do otherwise. I mean, just to give you an extreme, if you're in a baseball Hall of Fame or a pro football Hall of Fame, and you do something bad criminally, that doesn't remove you from that Hall of Fame. That doesn't change any of your accomplishments, and they're probably not going to strip you of your Hall of Fame status. So if banners are up for people who have done something bad or we think do something bad, I have no problem with that. And in the case of the current situation, we don't even know all the facts. We know something bad happened, for sure, You know, and I've had this conversation with Danny Negreanu, who's actually been quite vocal about individuals there.
He was very vocal when we had him on earlier this afternoon about these same issues.
Yeah, I disagree with Daniel on particulars here where, again, unless you know the facts of what went down, all we know for sure is that, you know, people's money was taken. It was taken incorrectly and not protected. And so all these people were all owed a lot of money. Unless you know the facts of how that occurred, I'm not going to comment on any individuals. I don't know anything else other than what I've read, and we still don't know all the facts of that situation. So I don't know who's guilty and who's not guilty.
Did you
somewhere?
I guess somewhere along the same lines, in all your years of commentating and just being in the industry, were you at any point ever friendly with Russ Hamilton?
No, I've literally never met Russ Hamilton.
Okay.
And in fact, I know very little about Russ other than what, you know, his part was in the Absolute Poker UB problems. And Russ is a different situation, and Russ is a different case than the individuals involved with Full Tilt. So, you know, we have certain facts that we know about Russ. We don't know all the facts about the Full Tilt people yet. So I think it's almost like apples and oranges there for me.
Absolutely.
Norm, shifting. Just...
Let me just introduce. I know I've been hogging this, but I've been waiting for this all day. I have two other very gracious, patient co-hosts that are with me, and the first one is Johnny Sepp, and the next one as well, that's patiently waiting on the line, is Kevin Wright. So, Johnny, go ahead, please, and thank you both for waiting. I've just...
No problem. We've all got those guests that are going to be on that we just are anxious to talk to, and Norman Chad was yours.
No, Norman, before I go, and I hope I talk to you again, just tell me, my name is Brandon Gersten. All I want you to tell me is that I'm just a kid with a dream. Can you do that for me?
Brandon, you're a kid with a dream.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Brandon, you're just a kid with a dream, and the dream might come true for you. I don't know. You might be well-connected. You might sleep your way to the top. You might fall one day into a million-dollar ditch.
Yeah, so I have a podcast with Todd Dandruff-Otella, so, I mean, it could be worse, you know?
No, it could be worse. That's a good jumping-off point.
All right, go ahead, Justin.
We got a new sound clip for our intro, thank you. Norm, I'm curious. You've called so many final tables. Is there one that stands out as your favorite one that you commentated?
The short answer is no. The slightly longer answer is, even though I had no idea what I was doing, it's hard not to be thrilled with the first one we did, since that just happened to be, you know, lightning in a bottle, which was the Chris Moneymaker year, which was part of setting everything off. So, you know, being part of that and watching it and being stupid enough to be rooting for Sammy Farha in terms of not realizing that Moneymaker winning is probably better for poker in general, that didn't strike me at the time. I remember I was actually rooting for the sort of the old-time pro there. So even though I was a moron on that case, I loved watching it. I loved seeing it come down. And to this day, and I haven't seen the final table broadcast for quite a while, when I do see it, and I've seen it, you know, 10 or 15 times in my life, I just always enjoy watching it just because it's just the start of something that we didn't know was going to happen.
And through the years with all the different poker players that you've commentated on, I know we talked a little bit about Adam Freeman, but how regular of an occurrence is it that you find yourself answering for something that you said about a player on the air?
It's irregular. I mean, it's common, but it doesn't happen that often. Like, it'll happen almost every year where somebody is going to be upset with something I said. There's two different categories about things that they'll be upset about. They'll be upset if somehow I criticize their play, which is unfortunate that I ever criticize somebody's play, because I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. And that's what I always tell them. I apologize almost profusely every time somebody's come up to me and say, what are you talking about? You have no idea. I was trying to, you know, I was leveling this guy, or I had this in mind, or I had done this at a previous hand. And I just interrupt them and go, you're absolutely right. I had no business doing that. So that's one area where I try not to trample on players too often. I don't get into the analytical skill part that often. The other area in which I'm critical of players, it has to do with, again, table comportment, how you act towards other players, how you act towards the dealer, how you act to taking a bad beat, just the whole thing about winning with grace and losing with grace. And that's one where I pretty much stand my ground. I know they get upset with me over the years, and they've come up to me sometimes, certain players, to say, you know, you're full of it. But I tell them, you know, I play poker, you know, two, three times a week myself, and I understand when people are acting a certain way that isn't good for the game or isn't good for anybody, and I'm usually going to call you out on that. So that I usually stand my ground on, but on the other stuff, I never stand my ground. I apologize immediately, as I should.
Johnny, I'm just, you know, I'm getting a couple of tweets in, and they're basically saying that they've been listening to us for 22 hours waiting for Norman Chad, and they expect him to make us laugh.
Well,
so I don't know.
Well, hopefully we could get him to make us laugh.
It's Labor Day. I don't bring my A game on Labor Day. We're all trying to just be laid back. No one's supposed to be working. So I'm just dealing with B material. I would try to tell a Kevin Pollak polar bear joke better than he did. That's a great joke. That, and Kevin's a great comedian, but he screwed up that joke on our main event telecast. That's a really good joke, but they've already heard that one, and I don't think I can make it any better right now, because they just, no one likes the polar bear joke because it was so screwed up on the main event telecast.
Norman, what's your opinion? You called the Scotty Wynn 2008 horse.
Disgrace.
Yeah. You were super critical. Do you regret how you called that, and looking back on it, do you award the benefit of the doubt to Scotty, or do you still kind of feel like it was just a horrible moment for poker?
I haven't watched that one, we called it, but I do believe it was a horrible moment for Scotty and a horrible moment for poker. And I know Scotty was quite upset with me in the wake of it, in the first few weeks or months afterwards. I have talked to him several times. I've played with him since then, and we're good now. And I think Scotty realizes that it wasn't his, obviously it was not a good moment for him or for poker. And, it's just one blemish.
Looking back at that, though, you don't believe that you acted inappropriate. Just like an announcer in a ball game or anything else, you call it as you saw it, I assume. You didn't, I mean, it was more him recognizing than you apologizing, I assume, correct?
No, that one wasn't one where I would apologize. And again, I might be wrong. This is a judgment call on how somebody's acting at a table. And again, that comes up quite often. And I've had, you mentioned Todd Vitellus earlier, and Adam Friedman, and Josh Aurier, and Scotty have all had issues with me over the years, as well as some others I'm forgetting right now. But yeah, as it turns out, again, I have to see it again, but I know I was speaking from the heart. I was speaking instinctually from what I saw, and it was not good. And frankly, because I was there watching it live, the amount of indiscretions by Scotty live were a lot worse than we saw on the edited telecast. You couldn't even put them all in. I mean, it was just, Scotty was just, that night, he was like a volcano that was erupting and it just wouldn't stop. And the telecast, actually, he looked worse. If you were there watching him, it was much worse than what you saw on the telecast.
And in general, after that happened, the entire poker world, forums, various podcasts, even, some forms of mainstream media picked up on it and agreed that it was a disgrace as well. So it wasn't, I don't even think it was controversial in how you called that, because from everything I read, everyone agreed, maybe not with the way you might have worded it, but just what your general assessment of the situation, that it was just, very bad for someone that for many years had, been portrayed as a prince of poker. So, I don't think, I 100% agree, and that was just an ugly, ugly, ugly situation. And, I think
Scotty came around to realizing that he probably was that he was in the wrong. But in the wake of it, in the first few days after the telecast, the first few weeks, he certainly didn't think that. I mean, I know he wanted to track me down and wanted to tell me what he thought about it. So I do know that over the years now, I get along great with Scotty. I think he understands that that was just a bad moment for him.
Norm, question coming in from the chat. Have you ever played fantasy football with Eric Lindgren?
Actually, I've never played fantasy football with anyone. I read a sports column also, which is actually what I do the rest of the year, once a week. And I get under the skin of fantasy players because I've made fun of fantasy football and fantasy sports over the years. Even though, I understand it's great, and it's actually the biggest boon for the NFL since the point spread came out. It's better than the point spread for the NFL. It involves more people in more games to the end of games than the point spread does. So I understand why people enjoy it, but I generally make fun of people who play fantasy, and Eric would be one who I would certainly make fun of. But yeah, I have never played with Eric Lindgren fantasy football.
That leads me to my next question. Do you pay attention to what's going on in the poker news and sway your commentary one way or another. Like, for instance, somebody who got quite a bit of coverage. There's actually two players who got quite a bit of coverage at the WSOP this year who, while it was all unraveling and while you were probably working on the production of the shows, were in the midst of some controversies, namely Matt Marafiati and also Ryan Aracquazo. I'm wondering if you pay attention to that stuff and sway your commentary adjusting for it, or if you just mostly ignore the stuff that's out there online.
Well, there's two different issues there. I'm certainly paying attention to what's in the news, what we know factually. Again, if somebody's had indiscretion, and again, I had a problem with, you know, Justin Bonomo was upset with me a few years ago because I made mention of his misstep in his online history. And I know he wasn't happy with it, as were many viewers were wondering why I had to bring that into a telecast. If it's in the news and I believe it's relevant, I'm going to bring it up. And I just brought it up when Justin was on, like during one hand. I didn't talk about it for more than 15 seconds. So if it's in the news and it's relevant, I'm going to talk about it. If it's more rumored stuff and stuff that's personal, I generally tend to ignore that. And then other online stuff, which is another area, which is online forums and stuff, I completely ignore and I don't go to more than once or twice a year because I just think it's a bad place sometimes.
It's not ugly.
Forums, but
it's dark and demented.
Online forum I've been in my life has been some of the darkest places in America, and it just isn't very healthy or good for anybody.
When you say something like in regards to Justin and just, I guess, all the other information that you acquire over the years, do you have others that help you with that research? I mean, you said you're not, you know, scouring the forums except for maybe once or twice a year, and that's where generally a lot of this information and these scandals are found. So I guess I just assume you have others that bring you up to speed on, you know, just the various scandals and just occurrences in both, you know, live poker and before that online poker?
Actually, I don't have others, but there's enough poker media that once, you know, whatever you're talking about, if there's an indiscretion or a scandal...
Like an example, like Justin, for example. Like, how, you know, although it was very prevalent in the forums, it wasn't something that made mainstream news that, you know, you wouldn't really know about unless you were reading forums or someone just told you. Like, something like that. How do you become aware of that?
No, again, there's in between, you're mentioning two different extremes, the forums and then the mainstream, but there's a poker media, whether it's Poker News or Bluff or Card Player, that,
okay,
again, routinely will cover that if in a cursory fashion. But, yeah, I'm not getting that information from the forums. I'm getting the information from media. And, again, it's not mainstream media because the you know, regular newspapers and magazines aren't covering, but the poker media covers that stuff. That's where I usually get the information.
I got you. And what I mean
is, I know enough people in the industry, you know, and you mentioned this just now, are people telling me, yeah, when I'm making my rounds through, you know, Los Angeles or Las Vegas card rooms, people bring up stuff and they'll say something to me and go, oh, I didn't even know that. And then I'll go online and find out, oh, and I'll read the information about it if someone just brings it up to me casually.
Like an example, I guess, would be what we mentioned a few minutes ago, obviously, the Eric Lindgren fantasy football reference. Obviously, you know, you chuckled, so you knew what we were referring to. Something like that, is this that just something you just, you know, just pick up on because, like, as you mentioned, you're just in the industry? Or I'm just curious, like, really, I guess, how involved you really are in what goes on, you know, just you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to players, and I talked to Eric too, and I haven't even talked to Eric about the fantasy football issue. Other people tell me about Eric and the fantasy football issue. It's, I don't have enough facts in front of me that when we have Eric, let's say, on a broadcast for a little while, and we didn't have him on that long this year, he didn't cash, that it's going to be a thing that naturally comes up during a telecast. First of all, I need to know all the facts about it. Second of all, again, it might not be relevant to the telecast in any regard. So I am generally, you know, I'm kept up to speed to it when people tell me, but since I'm not working as a poker journalist in terms of finding all the facts out, if the facts come out and I see them, I decide whether it's worth talking about. In Eric's case, you know, the fantasy football problems he's having, or anybody having a problem with any debt, I don't believe half the information I hear anyway, so I'm hardly ever going to be mentioning that type of thing in a telecast.
Just something directly different from what we're talking about. Obviously, you're on Twitter. In fact, I do follow you. Are you familiar with a person that tweets by the name of Asian Spa?
Asian Spa, I don't think so. No.
You don't know that name. Okay. I just was curious. He's somebody that is really an unknown in terms of who he is, but has garnered a lot of attention and publicity for just more or less calling things the way he sees it in poker, and has a ton of followers, and actually no one knows who he is. And it's been just guessed and assumed that he's been various people ranging from Jeff Madsen to John Robert Ballon, and he's actually going to be on our show directly following you. And I just was curious if you had known that name or just were familiar with him. But again, I feel bad. I'm hogging the conversation. Kevin, please take over. I'm overwhelming Norm, and
Norm, it's definitely a great honor to have you on today. And obviously, as my co-host has told you, we're here obviously trying to raise awareness and raise money for the 22Q Foundation. The Ryan Dempster Foundation is actually directly linked to the 22. They actually have something called the 22Q Bus. And they're actually requesting to have a ton of different people who have done this small little segment, and they've either recorded it on their phone and sent it in, or used some sort of video camera. So if you could do this great honor and this really great favor, they're asking if you could just say this little line that I'm on the bus for 22Q, and record it and either send it to the Ryan Dempster Foundation, or you can actually follow the link 22Q Bus, and you'll be able to get all the information there. But they'd really like to use you for your fame, and there's just plenty of people on there, and it's just another way to get hits and have people spread awareness. So that's just a request coming straight from the foundation, and we hope you can do that to help them out.
Sure, I have to go online to do I'm on the bus for 22Q?
That's it.
I can do it right here.
Actually, they need a small little video clip of you if you can. So I don't know if you have some sort of smartphone where you can actually record it and you can tweet it right to them, or they can. I'm sorry.
Why don't we just ask this guy to just buy us steak dinners? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Not at all. It was just a request coming from the foundation of something you can do. If you can look into that, that's all it was. And again, I really appreciate it. I know Brandon was really super hyped up about having you on, and so was I. And
I've been looking forward to this since 9 o'clock last night, guys.
Brandon's only fallen asleep 3 times in between, and every time you woke up, is Norman on yet? So we're really
happy. Brandon needs to get out more. I mean, there's a huge world out there beyond me that's so much more interesting than me, and I'd show Brandon it, but it's bad for my. I don't know, cachet and buzz of them.
Yeah, plus you live in a bad neighborhood, so we'll just call it a wash.
Norman,
no, don't let him go, please.
No, there was another question that I wanted to ask you, and it went through the chat already. Somebody wanted to know. I think I hope this makes sense. The question was: is the National the greatest sports? Thing ever written? Does that make
National Sports Daily?
Yes. Is that the greatest piece of sporting literature of all time?
That's one of the biggest losing print operations of all time. That I know. I worked for the National Sports Daily, which was a terrific product. It was a daily sports. It was the U.S.'s first daily sports newspaper back in 1990 and 91. Essentially, it was going to challenge USA Today, which does a lot of sports. And it came and went in 16 months. We ran through. We were running through like a million buck losses a month, every month. And they put us out of our misery after 16 months. I loved working there. It was a great paper to read. It was a lot of fun, but it lasted for about 15 minutes. So I don't know if it was the greatest of all time. I know it was pretty quick. I feel fortunate I was with them, but it came and went very, very quickly.
Another question, Norm. When you're in Vegas doing the WSOP stuff, and you're not playing poker, what are you doing in your downtime?
In my downtime?
Yeah. What's a Norman Chad wild night in Vegas consist of?
Actually, I don't have wild nights. So trust me, I'm not a social butterfly. I don't go to parties. I don't party, whatever. In Las Vegas, I love the bowl, and Las Vegas, surprisingly to people who don't realize it, is one of the greatest bowling towns in America. Because the lanes are open 24 hours at some of the casinos. They're great lanes. I love going to the Gulf. The Gulf Coast has, which is next to the Rio, has midnight to six or something, has a dollar game. And it's, you know, I go with friends, I go with poker players I know, I go with producers I know. My downtime in Las Vegas, when I have it, and it's not that much, I love going bowling, and particularly after midnight. It's, bowling just strikes me right, huh? That's what it says on the posters, and I agree with you. Love to go bowling.
And the last thing that I have for you, I don't know if...
I'll talk all night with Norman.
Can I get a Wamboozled, please?
A random
just
Wamboozled?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just not the same, but yeah, you know. I never use Wamboozled off of the poker table. I used to use it, a version of it when I was in college. And, you know, obviously you can get Wamboozled in real life, but I've only used Wamboozled in terms of poker. Same with Squadoosh. I only use Squadoosh. You walk around all day and say, you know, that guy doesn't have Squadoosh. But I only use Squadoosh and Wamboozled at the poker table. So just to give you a random one right now, I can give you one, and it'll just go out into the atmosphere, and I don't know if it's dangerous. You know, I don't know if it could do something like a meteor across the sky, but I'll just give you one right now, or you will be Wamboozled.
Yes. All right, Brandon.
It's floating into the stratosphere.
No, it's not. This is being recorded. That's going on to a mixtape that I'm going to make for Brandon for Valentine's Day. Right. Brandon, go ahead. You can finish up with Norm.
I just want to talk with him. We could even just do it off air. It doesn't matter. I just enjoy this segment a lot.
We can do it on air if you want to do more of like a Dr. Phil thing where one of us is Dr. Phil and the other one has problems. I don't know which one of us has more problems, and I don't think either one of us is any less qualified than Dr. Phil to solve the problem.
When you're not working, what is your off-air relationship with Lon? I mean, do you guys ever hang out? Are you guys actual buds, or is it more really just a working... I mean, it's obvious just from the chemistry you guys get along and genuinely like each other, but do you guys ever spend time when you're not working together, grab a beer, just play cards, travel, anything like that?
No, actually, we spend an incredible amount of time when we are working together, because especially earlier when we used to do a lot of the bracelet events on TV, we'd be in Las Vegas all summer together for 3 or 4 weeks or longer, and then the production process for the World Series lasts 3 or 4 months afterwards, where we're in a small studio with each other for all day long, and then I've had dozens and dozens, if not 100 meals with Lon now. But when we're not together, we're not together. He lives in the Bay Area, I live in Southern California, so we're in different cities, and we pretty much just see each other when it's poker work, but we see a lot of each other when it's poker work, and I feel for him because he's got to be in a very confined area with somebody who's not necessarily all together as a human.
Right.
And he deals with it really, really well. And I'm not the easiest person to be around, so it's harder for him to be around me than me to be around him.
Right. And also, being that he's much better looking than you, does he get better babes in general?
Okay. First of all, I'm not going to correct you on the mustache. What type of claim is that? I'm looking at a trash dumpster right now that's better looking than me, so that's really a low bar you're setting.
Yes, I'm sorry.
But he doesn't get... You know, he doesn't get babes that I'm aware of. He's happily married for between, like, close to 30 years. So wow. Unless he's got, he might be leading a secret life we don't know about. But when I'm with him, he's not getting any babes.
Norm, that's actually a good question that I just thought of. Do you guys have, like, weird random, aside from Brandon, do you guys have, like, weird random, like, poker commentary groupies out there that, like, approach you when you're in Vegas?
We get approached a lot in Las Vegas because we're on television and it's a poker crowd. So I don't know if they're groupies. I don't know if they're, I hope they're not weird. They're just people who, you know, when you're on TV, it somehow gives you some type of import, which it shouldn't.
I guess what he's asking, like in a typical summer, how many times are you propositioned by women throughout the series because you're Norman Chad?
I'm going to give you a number, which is pretty accurate, and then I have to put an asterisk on it because the producers always give me a lot of grief about it. In the course of a summer, I may get propositioned between 3 and 6 times on the average over the last few years. You know what the asterisk is? Almost every woman who is propositioning me is over the age of 60. Many are over the age of 70.
Oof.
I'm skewing to an older crowd.
That's a bad demographic, Norm.
Jennifer Aniston is not coming up to me, all right? Jennifer Aniston's grandmother is coming up to me.
Listen, Norm, I'm done here. You have been an amazing sport. This was everything I thought it would be. This is for everything you've done. It's been for a great, 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 great charity for children, the 22Q Foundation. And I've said all day I wanted to bust your balls just because I knew you'd take it and you'd be great. And thank you so much for I'm not going to call this a roast, but just letting me have some fun. I've enjoyed it. I know our listeners have. And again, this is really, truly an amazing cause, what we're doing here. And on behalf of Brandon Gerson, thanks, buddy. I am a kid. I'm just a kid with a dream, and I fulfilled a small. I mean, very, very small. On the big scale of things, you're really nothing. But I did fulfill a portion of that today by talking with you. I want to thank you.
I'd like to put on a T-shirt if I can. In the big scale of something or other, I'm really nothing. I wouldn't mind putting on a T-shirt and just wearing that around all day and seeing how that works for me.
Well,
just don't forget a shout out the next time you're on ESPN for us. All right?
Absolutely.
I'm glad I was able to help a great cause, and it's been a pleasure. And I'm just glad I didn't somehow knock you off the air during the half hour or however long we were on the air.
Thank you so much, Norman. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good evening.
Okay.